Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
We're right back to WEEI.
Back here on WEEI. I don't deserve you. I'm John Lyons, alongside Dan Ball. Got producer David and Josh. So when it comes to the Red Sox, Dan, because I want to get to that, they did make not the biggest move of the offseason, but the first big move.
Yeah, well, I hope it's not the biggest move of the offseason.
Sonny Gray, where are you at?
The move or the player?
Both.
The player, I'm at a, I don't know, a B minus.
Okay.
I think if he slots in the correct place in your rotation, he can be a very useful player. A guy who posts, he's consistently anywhere between 28 and 32 games, had 200 strikeouts the last two seasons. He's out there every fifth day. He's a veteran. He's done a decent amount of winning in his career. So if he is your fourth pitcher, he's your fifth pitcher. If it's not guaranteed that Sonny Gray is starting a playoff game for you, then I like the player and I like the move. What really worries me is everything that's happened since you made the move, which is all of a sudden the Red Sox are pivoting to adding a hitter, which is fine. But there's been a lot more of a sentiment of this is the pitching move we're going to make this offseason than I was expecting when the move was originally made.
Jones and Keefe had this discussion the other day, and I agree with it, and you kind of alluded to this on your show yesterday. A lot of my judgment on the Sonny Gray move hinges on what else they do this offseason.
Like, yes.
If he's the third or fourth best player they bring in, I'm going to like it a lot. If he's the best pitcher, or dare I say the best player they bring in, then I'm going to be frustrated. And Sonny Gray's really interesting in that I went back last year, fourth in the MLB in strikeout rate. And behind Crochet, Skubal, Brian Wu, like,
yeah,
he was in that. And clearly, strikeout rate is what this front office cares most about with pitchers. Like, Breslow's talked about that. You go back, Crochet was number one in the league in strikeout rate with the White Sox his last year before the Red Sox traded for him. Now they go after Sonny Gray, high strikeout guy. Chapman, obviously, last year was a huge strikeout pitcher. So that's a big part of this. And he does eat the innings. You're right. When you look at Sonny Gray, though, we're talking about a guy who's going to be here 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
He's, what, 36 now, or
yeah,
whatever it is?
And no qualifying offer chance. So he is very much just a one, and then he's a free agent.
And he's got 330 career starts, Dan, but only six playoff starts. Like, you alluded to the playoff part. I think what we've seen over the last 5 years in the major leagues is, even though all the front offices and baseball people talk about 100 pitches and having bullpens and this and that, more often than not, it's your starting pitchers that win in October.
Right.
We've seen it with the Dodgers the last couple. I mean, the Dodgers bullpen this year wasn't that good, and they won because Yamamoto was unbelievable and Ohtani had some great moments pitching in the postseason. Like, Sasaki, who is technically a starter, was used out of the bullpen. Like, their starting rotation was a huge factor in them winning. Treya Savage, we saw that with Toronto and their rotation as well. Seattle's rotation. I mean, they went to Game 7 of the ALCS, arguably the best rotation in the majors. And it's not just this year. Like, we've seen over the last several years, teams that have multiple good starting pitchers or high-level starting pitchers, those are the teams that go deep. Even the Brewers this year, I know they got swept, but they're in the NLCS.
Right.
Multiple good starting pitchers.
Oh, yeah. They had. I was reading something on Freddy Peralta and his potential availability because they have 11 starting options or something to that effect, and top-end guys like Peralta and Brandon Woodruff. And so I ultimately have landed on this Sonny Gray trade cannot be included in the messaging that we were getting at the beginning of the offseason, which was an impact bat, a complimentary bat, and a number two starter. Because Breslow said during the GM meetings, to paraphrase it slightly, we're set from spots 3 through 10 in our rotation. We have starters 3 through 10, which is Bayo, Early, Tolley, Cutter Crawford, Tanner Houck, Hunter Dobbins, and on down the line. Obviously, you have your ace, your pig, unless you're adding Tarik Skubal, which they're not going to do. Then the only spot that's left is a number two, which is what really worries me, because if you just added Sonny Gray to be your two, your rotation is worse than it was last year, because Gray has been regressing each of the last 3 years. High two ERA to mid three to now low four. So there's a very chance his best baseball is behind him. So if this is your fourth best move, if it's Sonny Gray, Joe Ryan, Pete Alonso, and I don't know, a guy that I like is your second baseman, Luis Arraez, for example. That's a great offseason. If it's Sonny Gray, Alex Bregman, and that's all she wrote, then you're accepting that you're a 500 team, the third best team in your division, and probably on the outside looking in when all is said and done.
And I think one thing to note, too, is you look at your division. So the Yankees are going to get Gerrit Cole back to go with Max Fried.
Right. And Rodon and Schlittler. Like, that's a solid four.
And then the Blue Jays just signed Dylan Cease right after you trade for Sonny, a guy that I would have preferred. And I know it's more money, whatever. A guy I would have preferred, but they signed Dylan. And Dylan Cease and Sonny Gray, I think, are really interesting comparisons because both of them had high ERAs last year, but the underlying metrics did like both of them.
Yep.
Right? That fielding, independent pitching, whatever, like both of them. But I think Cease has the higher ceiling. Like, we're talking about a guy in 2024 was fourth in Cy Young voting, turns 30, what, in a couple weeks or whatever, so he's obviously much younger. His strikeout rate, speaking of that, fourth in, is eighth in the MLB over the last 4 years.
Right.
So
highest strikeout per nine in baseball, and he's made at least 32 starts each of the last 5 years, and he's going into his age 30 season.
So
that's a guy you invest in.
But see, that's very comparable. And if you think about a seven-year deal from Cease, so he'd be 37 when the deal's over.
Yeah.
Well, what's Sonny Gray going to be when this contract's over? 37.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, to me, very compared. I would have much preferred Cease, and I know it's more money, but that shouldn't stop the Red Sox at this point. That's a whole nother discussion. But it felt like the Red Sox made a choice, Gray over Cease. Because for them to trade for Gray and Cease to sign right after, it feels like they either kicked the tires on Cease and it just didn't work, or they believe in Gray more. And I think that brings me to kind of something you talked about. You get into the ALDS. Crochet's your game one starter. I mean, are you comfortable if Sonny Gray is that two? Or if it's Brian Bayo is that two and Sonny Gray's the third starter?
No, of course, I'm less comfortable with the arrangement this year than I was last year.
So you would take Giolito over Sonny Gray?
Absolutely, I would.
Because I actually would probably take Gray in that Giolito, I thought, was phenomenal over the summer. And we saw this with Bayo, too. Tailed off late in the year. Giolito had a major injury in 2024, and in late 2023, he was awful. One of the worst pitchers in baseball. I wonder if Giolito is close. He's not that bad, but I wonder if he's closer to that guy than he is the guy that was dominant over the summer.
I can understand that, but he was also on the border of, he was very good with Chicago. Very good before the injuries popped up.
Oh, yeah, he was an all-star. Yeah, yeah.
So I would go on the other side of that and wonder if he is closer to the guy who was there during the summer. You just are having a guy who's coming off of missing a full season, and you kind of run out of steam after an entire year where you didn't pitch. So
that's a fair point.
I could go either way on that. What worries me the most is the year and a half that Sonny Gray spent in the only big market in which he's played in his career, which is the New York Yankees, where he was okay when they got him at the end of 2017, had as many walks as he did strikeouts, 6-6 in the playoffs in 2017, and then had a career either worst or second worst mid-4 ERA the 1 year. He indirectly is the reason why the Yankees were compelled to get Gerrit Cole in 2020, because he was kind of supposed to be your next ace with Masahiro Tanaka. Ends up not working. They move off of him. And then a year later, you end up bringing in Cole. There's your ace. Okay, you're set. So this is something between the ears that you cannot measure other than the previous performance when he was in a big market. Can he handle pitching in Boston, a team that's trying to win a championship, theoretically, and will that combined with the regression of just getting older lead to a guy who will take a step back year over year from what we saw last year to what we saw this year? I think it's plenty reasonable to expect that that could happen.
And also against the lineups of the AL East. And obviously right. Some of that's contingent if Bo Bichette goes back to Toronto, but the lineups of the AL East. And I guess the guy I wonder about most here, honestly, Dan, is Brian Baio. Because Brian Baio is now a guy, he's 27,
yep.
Should be in his prime. June, July, and August last year, one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Right.
Totally fell off in September. But he's now pitched two full seasons, essentially. Is next year, in 2026, going to be the year he takes another step forward and he's a legit number two behind Crochet? Or is his ceiling kind of the guy that's in between what he was last summer and September, kind of like that third starter?
I worry it's the latter more than the former.
I feel like the stuff is there.
The stuff is absolutely number two rotational quality. I feel like there's a bump in the road that hits every single start. It's a two-run home run that happens, and then you kind of worry, okay, is this the thing that's going to derail him and we're going to have to pull him?
So I'm glad you brought that up, because Will Fleming talked about this a ton on the broadcast last
yes.
year about how Baio had taken a big step forward in that department, whereas in the past, 2023-4, he'd give up a run or there would be an error, and next thing you know, it'd snowball and you're down 5-1.
Right, and he's slamming his glove. It was ugly.
Yeah. Last year, and again, Will talked about this a lot, and I think he was right, Baio was much better about that last year. Not perfect, but he was much better last year.
100%.
Is that going to continue? Because I think that helped his development. That helped him take a step forward over the summer last year. I wonder, do the Red Sox front office look at the situation and say, oh, Gray will be our three because Bayo's going to elevate and BR2.
Wouldn't be surprised at all if they do see that.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised.
That's the guy they have signed to an extension. It's their homegrown guy. It's just, I would feel better, Dan, if it's Garrett Crochet and then Gray's your three, Bayo's your four, or flip a coin. Bayo's your three, Gray's your four.
I love that.
And someone else is the two. And I just look at, if you're going to win in the playoffs, games one and two against Toronto is going to be Gausman and Yusavage. You know, games one and two against the Yankees is going to be Fried and Cole.
Right.
With Rodon as the third star. Like, that's not going to be... We can talk about the Seattle rotation, right? Like, you're going to have multiple A-level starting pitchers if you're going to win in the playoffs. And that's a recent example. Red Sox fans, though, they've won four World Series this century. All four times, they had a legit 1-2 punch at the top of the rotation.
Oh, absolutely.
It's Pedro Schilling Beckett, Lester Lackey, Sale Price. Every single time. You have to have... Whether it's... You want to look at it from a Red Sox-centric context... Or just the MLB itself in recent years.
Right. And you had a 1-2 punch that was also combined with guys who you could trust below them. Wakefield and Derek Lowe, Rick Porcello, guys that, you know, weren't elite by any stretch of the imagination. But even Ryan Dempster in 2013, like guys who you knew.
Dice K was really good in 07.
Right. Would go out and post. So part of what I think is fascinating in the point that you make is I don't know if the Red Sox are building their team watching what's going on around them. Like, making a deal for Sonny Gray and then the Blue Jays turn around and make a deal for Dylan Cease. Are you building a team that your computers tell you is going to be good, or are you responding to the arms race that's developing in your own division? Because if you're not adding Joe Ryan or Freddy Peralta or Michael King or somebody that's a difference maker below Gerrit Crochet, to me, you're ignoring what's going on around you in your division and in the American League for the sake of just trying to be the smartest man in the room and trying to build a team that, analytically speaking, you think can compete. You're also basing what you're doing this offseason, assuming that you don't make that move, you're basing it on so much chance. I'm chancing that Brian Baio is going to become my two. I'm rolling the dice that Sonny Gray isn't going to continue to regress as a guy who's now in his late 30s. I'm rolling the dice that Peyton Tolley's going to learn a curveball, or Connelly Early is going to be able to stand up for 20-plus starts. There's been so much uncertainty in the way the Red Sox have built their rosters since 2021 in the Bloom and then Breslow eras. That's what I'm the most sick of, even if you're spending overspending a little bit for a veteran versus trusting a young guy, I at least want to know what I'm getting when my team shows up to the ballpark every single day. And I feel like they've ignored that more than they haven't the last handful of years.
We're going to continue this discussion with a deeper look at the Red Sox offseason coming up next. First, it's time to trend with David Azar. Oh, no, trend with Josh. We're going to trend with Josh.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We're back.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
I'm John Lyons alongside Dan Ball. We're filling in for Ken and Curtis. And we've just been talking about this Sonny Gray trade to the Red Sox, and you look at it in the context, Dan, you finished the last segment, and if you missed any of it, Odyssey app is free, Apple Podcasts, WEEI.com, Carrier Pigeon, however you get your audio, let us know.
Smoke signal. One of my favorites.
All works. But you talked about in the context of, are the Red Sox just kind of following their plan, or is there going to be any reaction to what other teams do? And let's go back just last year, right? They don't get Juan Soto. But their reports say they were second on Juan Soto.
Like, sure.
They were still $100 million short on Juan Soto.
Remember how Thanksgiving Day 2024 was spent?
Reading the
Twitter reports?
Yeah, I was here on Black Friday morning, Dan. I remember. Yes. Yeah. But point being is they quote-unquote saved all that money, and they're like, oh, they're going to spend it now. And they had signed Chapman. Then they obviously trade for an extend Crochet. They signed Bregman. Of course, then they shipped Devers out. So it feels like they have a lot of that money they quote-unquote offered Soto that they did not spend. They spent some of it, don't get me wrong, but a lot of it they didn't.
Right.
Then they take the Devers contract off the books. So you go into this offseason with Brian Bello extended, and I only bring that up because a young pitcher at 27 would cost a lot more money now, whether you like him or not.
Right.
Roman Anthony's already extended. You have some really nice pieces like Rafael and Abreu, a Gold Glove caliber guys too. Narvaez could have been an all-star last year. I know he tailed off in August, but could have been an all-star. You have obviously a good bullpen, Crochet, some Connelly early, some promising pitchers, but you have some clear needs. And it's that number two starter. It's those couple bats. I would argue, Dan, I think you need another bullpen arm too, because I just think you, as good as Chapman was in his mid-30s, is he really going to do that again? He'll be good this year.
Right.
Is he going to be the best closer in baseball again? I think that's unfair to expect of him.
100%. And you're down Justin Wilson, yep, and you're down Steven Matz. And without either of those two guys in your bullpen a season ago, you would have been significantly hamstrung.
So it brings me to this, right? So you trade for Sonny Gray, and what does your division rival Toronto do within, what, 24, 48 hours? They sign a guy in Dylan Cease, who is younger and I think a little bit better.
Yeah.
So now you look at it, if you're the Red Sox, is your plan, hey, Sonny Gray and then a couple hitters? But now that you see Toronto sign Dylan Cease, you're like, all right, now we really got to go get that number two starter and maybe one hitter. Like, I look at this team and I think they need a number two starter still plus two hitters.
At minimum. Sonny Gray, at best, John, can be the fourth most impactful move of your offseason.
And I think to that point, like, you look at what's out there. So Dylan Cease is off the board. I mean, I don't know. Like, could Michael King and Framber Valdez, like, those are options. Could Hunter Green be available via trade, which I know is a little pie in the sky for some people, but one of those Marlins pitchers? Like, I feel like I had this conversation in the fall of 2023 and the fall of 2024,
yep,
when I looked at it and said, wow, there's a lot of great pitchers available. The Red Sox should get two of them. They should get Crochet and Freed, or they should get Yamamoto and someone else a couple years ago.
And now you're halfway there.
And now they got one.
Yep.
But they still need that second guy. Like, they still need that second guy. And since it's a trade for Sonny Gray, is it going to be another trade for that other pitcher? Or is it going to be a free agency route for that other guy?
To me, I think your best move on the pitching market is a trade. Because
Is it Hunter Green? Is it one of those Marlins guys?
I think
someone we're not thinking of?
I go back to, I know Joe Ryan is the one that everybody throws around. And I'm good with that.
Would you give up Willy Abreu for him?
Yeah, absolutely. I would drive in Milogan myself, and I'd do the same for Jarren Duran.
So here's the thing, though, okay? And I'm not disagreeing, but if you're the Twins, why would you want Jarren Duran if you're rebuilding? Like, that's a guy who's going to be 30, and he's a very good player, but you'd rather have the young gold glove power hitter in Willy Abreu.
Right.
I also wonder, is it going to take Willy Abreu and Christian Campbell to get?
I'd drive them both.
And I'm not, but if you go that route and you take now Willy Abreu out of your lineup, now you might have to add three bats. Because if you think, Willy Abreu was your best power hitter last year when healthy.
Right.
And I know Story had the 25 home runs. But when healthy, Willy Abreu was your best power hitter. And Duran, all-star game MVP a couple of years ago, looked like a top 10 player in baseball, was still pretty good last year, but regressed. You wonder if that was his ceiling, 2024.
Yeah.
So even if you trade Abreu and your outfield is Anthony, Rafaela, Duran, you still don't have an answer at first base. You still don't have an answer at second base. If you bring Bregman back, you have an answer at third. If you don't, you have a question there. But you're taking your best power bat out of your lineup.
You are. And you could also probably forecast a regression for Trevor Story. Is he going to be as healthy and as productive as he was in 2024 or 25? I would pretty highly doubt that. So I understand why the Red Sox are pivoting now to look at impact bats. Because I think adding Sonny Gray.
And I'm sorry to cut you off,
yeah,
but this made me think of it. You and Lou talked about this a lot yesterday.
Yeah.
They struck out so much last year. They had the eighth most strikeouts or whatever it was in the MLB. I forget off the top of my head. But they struck out a ton. And how many times, Dan, and you watch as much Red Sox baseball as anybody, did they have runners in scoring position or it was late in the game and they just struck out? Like,
yeah,
multiple
with
strikeouts.
The bases loaded.
Yes.
It became a joke on the broadcast. Lou was laughing at the fact that, yeah, they had the bases loaded because it was weak contact, it's rollover double plays, it's strikeouts. So all of what you're saying about a move for a pitcher has to be compounded by the impact of some thump. Because if you slot Duran or Abreu or Story down further in your lineup where they're your fifth hitter, your sixth hitter, then I think that puts them in a better spot to be successful. But you're going to have to spend the money on an Alonso, on a Bregman, on guys who can hit the ball out of the ballpark in order to justify trading one of your impact bats that you currently have.
And before we get to the lineup, because I want to get deeper into that, is there a pitcher available that you have at the top? Like, Joe Ryan, is Joe Ryan the guy, or is there another guy that you're like, hey, they could sign or trade for this guy. He'll be right in that neighborhood, and I'll be just as happy.
I'm going with Freddy Peralta from Milwaukee.
Okay.
17-6, 270 ERA, makes $8 million this year as a free agent after the year. And there are some rumors floating around that Milwaukee, after Brandon Woodruff opted in to their qualifying offer, may be looking to cut a little bit of payroll. So that would be my guy. I would say even more so entering his 30 season, maybe even more so than Joe Ryan. Because he's maybe seen, you know, the playoff numbers. He's thrown in 9 games, 6 starts. It's a 4.32 ERA, which isn't great, but he made 3 playoff starts this year, pitched to a 4.70 ERA. So a guy who's been there, played some impact games, and is right in that sweet, kind of in the Dylan Cease-ish spot where you're looking to lock him up for the longer term. So that would be my move. I would go back to Milwaukee. Not that they owe you one for stealing Quinn Priester, but I would go and see if they really are looking to cut the payroll.
And
that's
you wonder
my guy.
With Milwaukee, would they look to add a guy like Abreu to that line?
Right.
You know, something like that. To me, it'd be Dylan Cease's former teammate, Michael King.
I like that.
Only 15 games last year. ERA was just under 3.5, but his previous 3 full seasons, his ERA was below 3.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's really good.
And he's criminally underrated.
Criminally underrated was the centerpiece, right, of that Juan Soto trade, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
From the Yankees to the Padres. And if you remember, the Padres gave the 2024 Dodgers their toughest playoff series. He's pitched in high impact games, whether it's regular season, late in the regular season, playoff games. So that's the guy to me that I want. Let's take a quick call here before we move on deeper into the Red Sox offseason. Chuck in the car wants to talk some Red Sox. Chuck, welcome in. What do you got for us? Boy, hang on.
Listen, I always love when you guys fill in. You guys really know ball. I want to talk a little bit about the two needs here. Obviously, the two bats and a pitcher. I really think they're going to go with, you know, somebody that's not going to cost as much, maybe an Okamoto out of Japan. I know Yoshida's in the lineup, but this guy's got some pop. He doesn't strike out often like Murakami. And you got to re-sign Bregman, obviously. You look for the two in a trade. I don't see them signing a pitcher. Always appreciate you guys taking my call and enjoying the show.
Chuck, appreciate it. And he brings me to my next point, because I think when they add to their lineup, so again, Michael King is a guy I'd like to have them sign. If they trade for Joe Ryan, I'll give you a high five.
He's a BC guy, by the way. Big fan of that.
The guy, obviously, above all else, and I'll just say it now and we'll move on, that I want to add it to their lineup is Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yes.
We'll just say it and then we'll move on because it's a pipe dream.
No need to belabor it.
And if they did it, I would stand up here in the studio and just yell until Ken fired me. Okay? So, you know, that we'll just say it.
Could lock the doors Mikey Adams style and just do it that way.
He brings up the Japanese hitters in Murakami and Okamoto, and I think their path to add it, because I think they have to add two bats to this lineup, and if they trade Abreu, it might be three. I think their path to do it is going to be one of the two Japanese guys, and then an Alonso or a Schwarber or an Arise or a guy like that.
Like, really?
I don't think it's going to be two major league players. I think it's going to be one of the Japanese stars, and also, too, I mean, we didn't mention Imai, the Japanese pitcher. That's a possibility as well.
Sure.
But I think it's going to be, personally, I prefer Okamoto. Like, the numbers, Murakami hitting fastballs does worry me.
It was over 93. Yeah, I saw those same numbers. It was ugly.
And he had the third highest whiff rate in Japan last year.
Oh, he's
and
a perfect Red Sox
and
then.
That, I know, no kidding, right? And that's a league, though, that is a lot of contact in the NPB. And he had the third highest whiff rate last year. So I prefer Okamoto, a guy that I think he did miss some time last year, still hit .327.
Yeah.
But I think their path, it's going to be Okamoto and Pete Alonso.
Why?
Because part of it's, you don't want to hear this, it's going to be cost. It just is. But I also think,
God, that blows my mind.
But I also think Okamoto, contact-wise, is a really good hitter. And I think with Alonso, you're trading off defense as well. He still hit .272 last year. But if Alonso is my first baseman and Okamoto plays third, like, because let's say they don't bring Bregman back, I can live with that. Or if they bring Bregman back and Okamoto's my first baseman, I don't love that as much, but I think it's going to be one of those Japanese players and then a major league guy.
This is what drives me up a wall. When you're going to invest money in a player, and instead of investing money on a guy who has put games on tape in Major League Baseball, who you may have faced, or you have coaches that have faced them, or front office executives who have trusted them with teams in the past, instead of investing that money, you're going to invest in a guy who hasn't played a single inning in Major League Baseball. I'm not saying that these guys aren't talented, but How many more times do I have to watch the Red Sox spend their money and go to the well to sign Masataka Yoshida or Ryusei Castillo or Daisuke Matsuzaka or these guys that haven't played in Major League Baseball before and just roll the dice and see how their skill set translates in Major League Baseball? If you're going to spend the money, John, I don't understand the draw to signing guys who you haven't seen
so
play in the Major League level before.
I don't mind signing one of them. Because what I mean by that is you look at Yoshida was not good. Okay, but I think Seiya Suzuki's been a good player. Obviously, Ohtani is an alien. That's different. But Yamamoto's been good. Sasaki's been good. Those are pitchers I know. I think Jung Hoo Lee in San Fran has been kind of a disappointment, but he hasn't been awful.
Right.
Right? Like, he had 266, so not good, but not awful. I'm okay with one of, like, I like the Okamoto contact numbers. This team needs more contact. But I think, to your point, I don't want the centerpiece of my lineup, at least addition-wise, to be a guy that hasn't played Major League Baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
I give you that. And I know they're expecting a jump from Roman Anthony, but I think if you combine Okamoto with a Bo Bichette or with a Pete Alonso, then I sit there and I'm like, okay, maybe you get a jump from Anthony, Okamoto makes good contact, and now you have Alonso. Then I feel a lot better. But I think the problem is here, Dan, is if they bring back Bregman, you're just the same as where you were.
Right.
Like, it really should be bring back Bregman and add at least one, if not two guys.
Yeah. Well, it has to be. If you're actually serious about competing in your own division, it simply has to be that. Go ahead.
Well, because if you bring back Bregman, you have an answer at third base that's good.
Right.
All right. Is it going to be Marcelo Meyer, finally? Is it going to be Christian? Because you look at Christian Campbell and Marcelo Meyer. Campbell, after the first month, we know what happened, tailed off, never made it back up, which that's a little concerning to me, too. He never made it back up. Then Meyer, what is it, 3-4 years in a row? He's got hurt in August and missed the rest of the year.
Right.
And again, there's a lot to like about Marcelo Meyer, but when was the last time the Red Sox, you felt confident all year long about second base? Was it like Pedroia in 2016 or whatever?
What
was Pedroia's last healthy year? That's probably the last time you felt good for 162 games about second base. Like, even the 18 team, you had to trade for Ian Kinsler part of the way through the year. Like, it's been a long time since you've felt good about second base.
154 games in 2016.
So there we go, right?
105, then 3, then 6.
I thought it was 60. That's the last time all year you felt good about second base.
Been a decade.
And first base, so not only is Costas, was it a really brutal injury, was he hitting 180 before he got hurt?
Right.
Like, he wasn't playing well.
Wasn't guaranteed he was going to be in your starting lineup this year, just with the way he was playing.
And he's a below average defender.
Right.
So I look at this infield, and okay, I got Story at short. I have Narvaez at catcher. The other three positions are real questions. And I think if you're going to roll with, and I feel like, Dan, they're going to roll with Marcelo Meyer at one of those positions. And fine, top four draft pick, there is a lot to like there. You're still going to add two other guys.
Yeah.
So it's still Bregman and someone else, or it's Okamoto and Alonso. Like, and if, again, going back to what I said before, if you trade Abreu, that's your best power hitter. So are you going to get power from Roman Anthony? That's a little unfair to ask 22-year-old to be your best power hitter. Is Duran going to have an uptick in power numbers if he plays every day in right field? Is it going to be an Alonso that you... Maybe, but they're in a spot where it's not just adding the number two starter. It's you need to add two guys in your infield. And I think, Dan, if they do that, I'm not trying to be just a Red Sox fan sitting here. They're not that far away from Toronto if they do those things.
I would agree based on the internal growth that you should get from Anthony, that you're hoping to get from Meyer if he can stay on the field. And Duran, when he's playing, in center field every single day, is a darn good player.
I think he'd have to play right, though, because Anthony's going to be in left, and Rafaela is a gold glove center fielder. Him and Pete Crow Armstrong are the two best center fielders in the MLB.
They are, but like, I would argue that they did the same thing with Mookie Betts and took him from center field to right field in order to cover that, and he was also outstanding.
And I'll give you, and you're right, but I think Rafaela might be a better fielder than Mookie. Now, Mookie's a Hall of Fame player, but just as a pure center fielder, Rafaela might be even better. I'm going to tell you, is this his first gold glove or his second? Because Abreu has two, right?
Yeah, Abreu has two. Rafaela has one. Yeah.
But we're talking about a guy that's a top two just defensive center fielder. And one of the things that really has aggravated me about the Red Sox the last couple of years is they've screwed around Rafaela, putting him at short, putting him at second.
Yeah.
Keep this dude in center field. Put Duran in right. And I understand what you're saying. I would just rather the dude that is a legit Gold Glove center fielder stay in center field.
I completely agree with that. I'm looking at it from say you remove Abreu from the equation. Yeah. I'm just trying to maximize and squeeze every single bit out of every player that I have. And it's something about I don't know if it's the wall that's on one side when Duran's tracking balls to his backhand, so into his right. He cannot do it. There's something about just being able to police center field with no walls, with nobody in his way, where he can just be the wild child that he is, that seems to unlock a level of his game. And something else that unlocked this year for a small bit of time is when he hit third. For some reason, it was that ability to swing a bit more freely and maybe swing for power that seemed to kind of click a little bit more than the one spot did this year. So I'm not saying any of this is going to happen. He's probably just a perennially 250 hitter who's fast and will go through his ups and his downs. But I'd consider a Rafael in right, Duran in center, Roman Anthony in left outfield, because I would hold on to the hope that that would bring the best out of Jaron Duran.
And that would be what gets you Joe Ryan or so, because it would be Abreu that you trade. Because that's the thing. My ideal Red Sox outfield is Anthony left, Rafael a center, Abreu right, and Duran's the guy you trade.
Yeah,
as much
sure.
as I like Duran, it's just, would the Twins really want Duran? Like, what does that solve for them, getting Jaron Duran? And even the Brewers. Like, I could see Duran being a fit with the Brewers.
Me too.
But not with the Twins. So I guess it depends on what. And with the Marlins, would they want to? They would rather have Abreu, right? Like, that's not a fit there.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know what they. I don't know if they'd want to make. I honestly don't know if they'd want a major league player.
And I wonder, too, like, the Padres, they would want Duran.
Apparently, AJ Preller loves Jaron Duran.
And they would to go with Jackson Merrill, sure. But, like, what does that solve for them? Because it's like, you don't. They no longer have a pitcher you want back. With
right.
Cease and King now free agents. So it's just, yeah, it's Duran is an really interesting, might be the biggest wild card of the offseason for the entire MLB. And it's because who actually wants him?
Right.
And do teams look at him as 2024 All-Star Game MVP Duran? Or do they look at him last year, the guy that hit, 25 points lower in his batting average?
Am I buying low on a guy who can be an MVP candidate, or am I buying high on a guy who has a Jacoby Ellsbury makeup and a regression that's going to follow him after we sign him to a long-term deal?
It is Thanksgiving weekend here on WEEI. So coming up next, we're going to do something a little bit different. Going to go around Boston sports and tell you one thing on this holiday shopping season we would get for each team. I'm John Lyons. That's Dan Ball. We'll be right back.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Back here on WEEI. I'm John Lyons alongside Dan Ball. Filling in for Kevin Curtis. And we just talked a lot about the Red Sox offseason, what they need to do. So with that in mind, it is the day after Black Friday. It's holiday shopping season. By the way, Dave, you shop Black Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do a little bit of that.
Did a little bit. Ran through the Target in North Quincy, no free ads. Did some things for the family, for the apartment, stuff like that. So partially.
Got almost all my Christmas shopping done yesterday.
Really? So what'd you get me?
Nothing.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's probably about what I earned this year, so that's fine with me.
I'm not even going to lie to you. So let's do something a little bit different now. We got four teams here in Boston.
Okay.
Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox, Patriots. Holiday shopping. You get them one thing for the next year, what would it be? We'll run through. Maybe we'll get the producers involved a little bit. And if you have any thoughts, 617-779-7937, phone line and text line. What would you get our Boston teams this holiday season?
So for me, the New England Patriots, in lieu of saying health, I think they need a power back, man. Somebody to run between the tackles. Ramondre is decent at it, but you're not sure if he's going to be a little too generous and turn it over. Travion Henderson has been improving, but I think he's still better when you get him out wide. So I feel like it'd solve a lot of your red zone issues and just take a little pressure off of your passing offense if you just had a bruiser in the backfield. So that's what I would get them. The Red Sox, I am getting the duo. Go ahead.
So let's we'll go one at a time.
Okay, cool.
So Patriots, I am going to take the easy way out and just say health.
It's the smart one.
Well, and we talked about the lack of depth on their roster, right? They need more depth on their roster going forward. They just don't have it right now. It's where they're at in the rebuild. One thing, though, and I know we'll do 6,000 draft shows after the season, they need help in that pass rush, man, off the edge. Mm-hmm. That's going to be something. Tight end, defensive end, those are going to be two of their top needs. Offensive tackle, too. So that's Patriots to me. You said Red Sox. What do you got?
Red Sox, I know we just did it, so I won't go too much further. The duo of Pete Alonso and Alex Bregman. I think that's your two and your three in your lineup. It covers both corners. You can throw Story and then a platoon of Meyer and Romy Gonzalez at second. Your outfield, you can deal with it however you want. Lou brought up the idea of having Jarren Duran be your DH. He's probably your worst defender out of the four, assuming that you want Roman to play a spot in the outfield every day. So I'm adding those two bats. Even if you choose not to address the rotation, I think your lineup is exponentially better year over year. So give me those two in my stocking.
Yeah, for me, it's Michael King. And I mentioned him before. Like, I want that number two starter. And I think if you can sign Michael King and not have to trade anything, give up anything, maybe Joe Ryan's better than him. I won't argue that. Maybe Freddie Peralta's a little better. But I think as a number two starter, I'm a big supporter of Michael King.
And his secondary stuff, his slider specifically, is Andrew Bailey's dream. The ability to work with his secondary stuff, because he cuts the ball both ways. In on the hands to righties when he's kind of throwing that two-seamer sinker and then the sweeper the other way, that is the exact model that the Andrew Bailey coaching staff would like.
Producer David Azar, you got something you want the Red Sox to get.
Yeah, I would like to see them get one of the Red starters. And whether that be Hunter Green, whether that be Abbott, Lodolo, I think they line up very well. I mean, we were talking about the Seattle Mariners as an ideal trade candidate, given how many starters they have. The Reds are very similar in terms of their rotation and young starters. Could you get one of those guys for Willier Abreu or Jarren Duran? I hope so.
Andrew Abbott, 10-7, 287. Nick Lodolo, 9-8. 333, and then Hunter Green in 19 games, 7-4, 276 ERA. Those guys are 26, 27, and 25, respectively. Those are building blocks for the future.
Those are guys you might have to give up Marcelo Meyer or Christian Campbell for.
I'll take them to Logan myself.
I think Hunter Green, you legitimately might have to give up, like, Meyer and others.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying not to do it. I'm just, that's what it would be.
Electric, though, man.
Let's go to the Boston Bruins here.
Okay.
You know, it's not morning brew, but we'll talk about the Bruins.
Yeah.
Look, Dan, for me, this Bruins team, they're in a rebuild. They've kind of exceeded expectations. What I want them is more consistent center play. Like, Pavel Zaka has been good, but Lindholm missed time. So can Lindholm be healthy? Can he be more consistent? I still would like another center, maybe added someone that can score, or I'll take a wing as well. But a little bit more consistent center play beyond Pavel Zacha.
Yeah, your elite teams in the NHL are built down the middle, where, you know, the Oilers have McDavid and Dreisaitl, the Golden Knights acquired Jack Eichel, the Panthers have Alexander Barkov and added Sam Bennett. So that is a huge mark of a championship caliber team in the NHL. For me, I've been pleasantly surprised by the offense that the Bruins have put forth. They've gotten, Morgan Geekie's developing into one of the league's elite goal scorers, which I don't think is something that anybody saw coming. So I'm adding a top four right-handed defenseman. I like what they have with Zadorov and McAvoy when they're healthy. I like Hampus Lindholm when he's healthy. I think peak in Lauri on that that bottom pairing is decent enough in limited minutes. You need somebody to play with Hampus Lindholm on that second pair. Joki Haru isn't going to cut it. Some of the other guys they've rotated through won't work. So somebody who's better than Brandon Carlo as a right-handed shot defenseman behind McAvoy on the depth chart in front of peak, that's my guy.
Let's go to the Boston Celtics. I thought, Dan, they had their best win of the season on Wednesday night over Detroit. I mean, not only did they beat a Detroit team that won 13 in a row, they were good in clutch time. That was nice to see. Nemus Keita didn't play. So Boston Celtics, where do you go?
They need a four, man. They have four of their five starters with Tatum out right now set. Brown, Pritchard, White, and Keita have been starting pretty consistently. I respect what Josh Minot's bringing. I respect what Jordan Walsh is bringing. Luka Garza, these guys that have kind of been filling in as that fifth starter, but you need a four, a little bit more of a physical presence. Another specific guy that I like on a terrible team this year that the money doesn't really fit, but I just like watching is TJ McConnell. Another guy to distribute, come off the bench a little bit, and he plays with a bit more pace than the Celtics. The Celtics have struggled in the pace category with how fast they play and how fast they move the ball. So I just think he's a dog, and he's fun to watch. So that would be a kind of a luxury depth piece I like. But what about you?
Producer Josh, actually, you had one. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I like how you say a four. I'll take that step up a notch. I'll actually say a five.
Okay.
I think we're good with scoring because I'm kind of thinking of this more as where are we going to be from a year after this Tatum hiatus, after this Tatum injury. We have scores. We have Brown, Tatum, Pritchard, White, Hauser even. I'd even throw Minot in there in that equation. We don't need another guy to score. We need another guy who can defend, lock down the basket. I'm thinking a guy like Zubac. I'm thinking a guy who I wanted originally, Walker Kessler, before he got put out for the season. So I'm thinking we need a guy to lock down the defense, lock down the paint, because when you look at a lot of the big guys in the playoffs, I mean, who's gonna guard the Giannis Antetokounmpo, Karl-Anthony Towns, Jalen Duren? Who's going to guard the Joel Embiid, the Jokic, even, if you even get to the West?
Good take.
I want to just say, I just want to say Sabonis. Like, I would take Sabonis in your front court. That would be a lot of fun. And listen, I had this conversation with Mego yesterday, and I'm just saying, and I'm not trying to be Mr. Green Teamer here, Tatum comes back in March. If you add actual front court help, you can be in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, the East is not that good.
No, it's not.
Like, really. Seriously, I mean, Detroit is good, but they're unproven.
And you just beat them.
Cleveland's legit. They're good. The Knicks, I think, are good. Beyond that, I mean, we're going to sit here and be scared of the Miami Heat, Tyler Hero? Like, I'm not. I'm going to be scared. Like, Orlando should be better, but they're not.
Right. Toronto?
Like, I'm not. No. Like, the East is not that good. So, again, it's predicated on Tatum come back. But you add front court help. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying you're going to go to the NBA Finals, but you go deep in the playoffs.
And I mean, you kind of have your built-in trade chip, at least to me, in Anthony Simons. The money would work in a decent amount of deals. You know, he's kind of just a short-term shot in the arm to kind of help the scoring with Tatum out, but his way of playing becomes even more redundant when Tatum comes back. So that would be the guy I would probably ship out.
Random take I have is keep an eye on Anthony Simons, because if he can become an average defender, maybe the Celtics choose him over Pritchard long term.
Oh, you think so?
The money would be predicated a lot on it. But
okay.
Final hour coming up here, filling in for Ken and Curtis. We're going to get back to the Patriots. They do have a game Monday night. It's also Ohio State Michigan Day today, Dan.
Nice.
Rivalries across college football. Red Sox Yankees ticked back up this year. We're going to see. Is that still the best rivalry in sports? Where are we at? So all that's coming up on the next hour here on WEEI.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.